It's 1240. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. The co-founder of Twitter stopped by the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign this week to talk with students about his other company. Square is the brainchild of Jack Dorsey, who helped launch Twitter in 2006 and then focused his attention on Square a few years later. Like the way Twitter changed communication, Dorsey's hoping Square will change the flow of commerce. Square allows business owners to accept payments instantly through Android, the iPad, or iPhone devices. Dorsey tells Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers that future changes to social media ultimately depend on how people choose to communicate.
I think one of the most compelling things about it is that everyone around the world has a voice instantaneously, and it can be received by anyone in real time. So the challenge for the technology, speaking from a technology standpoint, is to make sure that we're always surfacing the most relevant information in a timely manner. It's a hard challenge. It's never been done before.
Well, you know, one of the things I think is interesting about Twitter, when you look at other social networking sites like Facebook, for example, Twitter hasn't changed all that much in terms of what it offers, in terms of the features. What was the motivation behind starting it?
The motivation behind starting it was I had this fascination with cities and wanted to see what was happening in them. So I got into dispatch, couriers, taxis, 911, so I could see these ambulances and fire trucks and taxis and black cars roaming around the city. And the idea was, what if we could take that same model but also bring it to citizens, to people? So what are they doing? Where are they going? And what do they care about? So now with Twitter, we have a sense of the entire world. So I can actually see not only what's happening in around the world, but also what the world cares about right now.
What was the reason behind the 140-character limit?
We wanted to build a technology that reached every single person on the planet. And in order to do that, the lowest common denominator technology was a mobile phone. SMS-capable phone. For SMS, you can go up to about 160 characters. And we took 20 characters out for the username and for some syntax, and we arrived at 140 characters. What that means is someone in Kenya with a $2 cell phone can participate in the same conversation that you can in the United States, which is amazing. The creative constraint is we believe that constraint inspires more creativity. So if I give you a paintbrush and ask you to paint a blank white wall, you might feel a little bit intimidated and you might not do it. But if I give you that same paintbrush and a business card and ask you to make a mark on it, you'll be happy to. So that constraint of the canvas allows people to be freer. It allows people to be more of the moment and put a mark out there and not have to worry about it.
You're at the University of Illinois to talk about Square, another service, a mobile payment service. Mm-hmm. What was the motivation behind starting it?
So my co-founder, Jim McKelvey, is a glass artist in St. Louis, Missouri, and he sells glass art for $2,000. He was at an art fair one day, and a woman wanted to buy a piece of his art, and he couldn't accept credit cards. So he lost that sale, and she never came back. $2,000. So that's really meaningful for an artist. And we looked at it, and we said, well, that should be easy to do. And we took a month, and we built a program, and we built some hardware, and then we built a company around it because we really believed in giving people access to the payment rails. No one is carrying cash anymore. No one is carrying a checkbook. Everyone is carrying a plastic card around, meaning that if you can't accept that form of payment, then you don't get paid. It's as simple as that, and that means that you can't start the business that you want because you are locked out of that world completely. And they were literally locked out. So we made it as easy as downloading an application called Square, and you sign up. We send you a free credit card reader in the mail, and you can start accepting credit cards as soon as you get it. You just swipe the card. It goes right into your phone and goes into your bank account the next day. So you can use that money immediately, which is also unheard of in the credit card industry. Normally it takes about a week to get your money.
You're at the University of Illinois to potentially grow this service. So can you talk about why you're at the University of Illinois recruiting?
Well, I've always admired this school. I'm from St. Louis, and the school is not only a great engineering school in the Midwest, but also it's a legacy in our industry. The reason that I've been able to build the companies that I've been able to build is because of the people that came out of the school. people that were taught of the school, things that were invented within the school. So we're definitely standing on the shoulders of giants, and you know, we want to give back as well.
So what kind of ideas are you hearing from the students and the teachers, and how is that going to inform your decisions as the CEO of Square?
All the students here and all the professors here have a very unique perspective in that, you know, when you're building a company or any organization, you tend to take things for granted, and they can give you an entirely new, fresh perspective. Money is a concept that has been with us for 5,000 years, touches every single person on the planet at least once a day, and every single person on the planet at some point in their life feels bad about it. It doesn't have to be that way. So we want to fix that, and we're here to ask for some ideas, but also ask for people to join us and help us fix that.
One of the concerns with Square is that there could be abuses with it. You transfer somebody's credit card information, it gets out there, and it could be available to a third party, like a hacker. How are you going about addressing that issue?
Well, first and foremost, security is our number one concern. So when a card is swiped, it's immediately encrypted. It goes up to the credit card network. It doesn't stay on the phone. So nothing stays with the merchant. Nothing stays on Square servers. It goes straight to the credit card, it's processed, and then we're done with it. So there's no opportunity for that sort of theft or that sort of fraud. But also we have lots of information. We're constantly watching the network to make sure that fraud doesn't happen. And this, you know, this is something that constantly has to evolve. But like any other financial institution, we are bound to the exact same regulations and the exact same compliance. So every 6 months, we're audited by the same people that audit JPMorgan Chase, and we pass.
You have Twitter, you have Square. What's next for you?
That's it. So I'm sticking with these two. Communication and commerce are pretty fundamental aspects in this world. And if you fix issues with communication and you fix issues with commerce, you fix a whole host of other things. For instance, healthcare. We have tons of doctors and nurses on Square, and they're using it to do house calls. They're using it at their home offices. And what this means is patients can pay them directly, and the doctors get the money right away to build their own practice instead of waiting for the health insurance industry to pay them, which often happens 6 months to a year after, which is a terrible experience, and it also costs the patient more. So going direct doctor to patient and having that payment right there is extremely efficient, and it allows the doctor to focus on what's most important and what matters most, which is the patient's health.
That's Twitter co-founder and Square CEO Jack Dorsey. He spoke with Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Birch Tree Counseling and Consulting, Champaign; Common Ground Food Co-op, Urbana; Prairie Boat Works Gallery, Champaign; and Lowell Heap Farm, Dewey. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
It takes patience to perpetuate pickles.
Good things come to those who wait, and for listener Joni Vick, it's a pickle like the ones Grandma Minnie used to make.
Not so crunchy, but very juicy.
A lost recipe found later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 13th of September, 2012. It's the birthday of the author and triathlete Meta Ivy Harrison, born Summit, New Jersey, 1970. Competed in her first triathlon in 2004. And won it, did an Ironman competition in 2006, meanwhile writing novels for young adults, including The Monster in Me, Myra Mirror, and The Princess and the Hound, and her latest book, a modernization of Tristan and Isolde, called Triss and Izzy, published last year. It's the birthday of the composer and pianist Clara Schumann, born in Leipzig, Germany, 1819. Her parents, both musicians, her father taught her to play the piano. When she was 8 years old, she met the 17-year-old Robert Schumann, who fell in love with her. Meanwhile, she became a famous prodigy, making her debut at the age of 11. Her concerts all sold out. She won all sorts of awards. Critics compared her to Beethoven. Robert Schumann proposed to her, and though her father did everything he could to stop the marriage, they took him to court, and they were married on the eve of Clara's 21st birthday. She continued to tour and to perform, even as she gave birth to 7 children and raised them all, played her last concert in 1891, and died 5 years later at the age of 77. It's the birthday of Samuel Wilson, who was the original Uncle Sam. Born in Arlington, Massachusetts, 1766, he was a meatpacker in Troy, New York. He supplied beef to the army during the War of 1812, and he shipped it in barrels stamped with the initials U.S. to show that it was the property of the U.S. government. But his workers joked that it stood for Uncle Sam, which was Samuel Wilson's nickname. And in due course, people were referring to the government as Uncle Sam, who had never heard of Samuel Wilson. It was the cartoonist Thomas Nast who first drew Uncle Sam, put him in a suit with the stars and stripes, gave him a white beard, and it was James Montgomery Flagg who painted a World War I recruitment poster with Uncle Sam on it, pointing directly at the viewer and the words, "I want you for the U.S. Army." And it was on this date in 1848, a railroad worker named Phineas Gage, working on a railroad bed near Cavendish, Vermont, using a tamping iron to pack explosives into a hole in a boulder. The explosives went off and drove a 43-inch iron through his head, and he survived. He lived for 12 more years, during which friends noticed dramatic changes in his personality. He became one of the most famous patients in neuroscience. Doctors became interested in mapping the brain. They noticed a link, in his case, between the frontal cortex and social inhibitions. His skull and the tamping iron are on display at Harvard's School of Medicine. Here's a poem for today by Philip Larkin entitled Days. What are days for? Days are where we live. They come. They wake us time and time over. They are to be happy in. Where can we live but day?